We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, he's been in Crinkulet over the last month, and he's pitched himself into that role.
It happened. That was the Pirates manager, Derek Shelton, and he now joins us. It's the Derek Shelton Show, sponsored by Spitzer Acura. Visit them at spitzeracura.com. Shelty, the question on the minds of millions right now is just that. Why now? Why now? Why, after the sweep of the Cardinals, bring out the word incrinculant?
Well, I mean, you've been asking me to use it, and your partner was in the room and asked the first three questions, so I just figured it was the right time to break it out. I mean, I think you've actually kind of challenged me to use it, and now that I've used it, you're questioning my use of it.
I'm kind of
in a loss.
No. I believe me, I'm deeply honored. I mean, this has made waves from my family and friends across the country. It really has. I do have a slight bone to pick. I mean, you used it, you did, but I don't think you pronounced it correctly. It ends in ENT, incrinculant. Sean, can you play that again?
Incrinculant.
I think you said incrinculate. Now, I'm not going to be picky, but I think you might have mispronounced it.
Yeah, I may have. I know how the word is said. I may have rushed through it. I may have been so excited that I just rushed through it and didn't get the ENT on there properly. So I apologize in that regard, but... And apologies to your family members throughout the country.
Well, they didn't notice. They were so excited that they didn't notice. Now people are trying to boycott the word and things like that. When you become big, Shelty, people get jealous. You know that, right?
Well, no. I mean, you're getting a word into the dictionary, and you know, just you're changing academia. I mean, that's really what you're doing.
Exactly. And you're changing the NL Central. So let's get to that. We felt, and Ron's not here today, although we were trying to estimate what time his first beer is on his days off. He does wear a Speedo. He's admitted that. He has a pool near his house. I say over under 11:35 a.m. for Ron's first beer. Where are you going with that?
I'm taking the under. I'm saying 11:05. 11:05.
I said 10, so we're both under. But we felt when we were here together that that was the most significant series. And I know for you guys, it really is about every day is different. You know, whatever. But that felt like the most significant series of your tenure with the Pirates to sweep the Cardinals. Thoughts?
Yeah, it was a big series for us because we came off playing the Giants, who were playing really well, and then you get somebody in the division. And then I just think the way the games were played, that they were, you know, that closely contested, and we had to use our entire roster. So it was a important series for us, and I think it was an important series for our guys to coming off the heels of San Francisco of knowing that, hey, they could continue to go, and that was really important.
And the games played out where it was kind of like you guys did what the Cardinals have done to the Pirates for many years. I mean, you have to look. The Steelers don't look at the Ravens like they do every other team. It's different. Are the Cardinals that team for you?
I think a little bit, just because of the success that they've had, you know, not only against us and at PNC, but also just because of the fact that they've been, you know, the class of our division for such a long period of time. I think those are the two things that kind of stand out there.
And then we get to last night, Shelty, and I agreed with Hedges after the game. Like, you have to win ugly games like that. I tried to make the point earlier today that if the Pirates have reached the point already where we're complaining about wins, that's usually Penguins-Steelers territory. That can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care how we win and how pretty it is or how fluid it is, as long as at the end of the game we have more runs than the other team. And I think your point, our Hedges point's right. Like, that was not a pretty game last night, and we were a little beat up in our bullpen, and Oviedo gave us a really good start and able to give us seven. But the thing that I really like about it is our guys continued to play, because the first four or five innings, just, you know, there wasn't it just wasn't very clean. And then we didn't chase the win. I mean, we walked, we took our extra base, we did the little things that we needed to do to win that game. And that's a sign of growth for a club for me, because usually when you get behind and there's not a ton of energy, you try to, like, hit your way out of it, or you try to do different things. And we didn't do that. We ended up just being patient, stay with our approach, and ended up winning the game because of it.
And a huge play by Hedges and really Marcano late with a great tag. How did you see that play through your eyes? That's not an easy guy to cut down on the bases. Nobody is these days, it feels like, with the new rules, but that was a clutch play.
No, I mean, you're talking about Ruiz, who's one of the elite base stealers in the game. Everybody in the ballpark knows he's going. He's got a huge lead. And Hedges comes up and fires a strike, and Tuk makes an unbelievable tag. And it's one of those things where, as a catcher, you know he's going. He knows you know he's going. And you know that you have to make a good transfer delivery and throw. And at times, people end up rushing those and not get it clean. And Hedges got it really clean last night, and that was a huge play in the game.
There was a great moment on TV last night, Shelty. Neil Walker was calling the game, and of course him and Kutch played forever together from the minors on up. And it was the 3-0 count on Kutch for one of his walks. I lost track of his walks as the game went on. And it looked like Walker said, he just said, "Do I have a green light?" And you could tell by his reaction that it appeared he didn't have a green light. When does a guy get that? And do you remember specifically him turning to the dugout and asking for it, if indeed that's what happened?
That is indeed what happened. He turned and had the green light. He did have the green light. He knew he wasn't going to swing because of the three other pitches that has happened. I think that's just the mystique of Kutch, the fun of Kutch, you know, in the middle of a contested ball game, having a little bit of fun. So, but yeah, he definitely had the green light, and he knew it. It was, I think he was just messing with me a little bit.
What was the most impressive Kutch moment last night? The sacrifice fly, the walk on the close pitch after a near bean ball, or the base running play where it looked like he was had everything in front of him and was watching to make sure that Hedges scored before he got tagged?
Yeah, well, let's go to the base running play first. I think he did an unbelievable job keeping his head up. Mike Ribello, the third base coach, did a really good job of making sure that he was stopping and letting Hedges score. But the most impressive thing was the sacrifice fly. You know, in that situation, making sure he gets the ball deep enough in that late in the game, I think that was probably the biggest play of the game.
A couple other things here, Shelty. One is Key Brian Hayes. That felt like the biggest hit of his career the other night, and it felt like maybe it opened up the floodgates a little bit. How did you feel about that? And that game that night, by the way, was just wild. That was one of the more enjoyable games I felt like since the ballpark opened, really. Do you feel like that did open up something for him? And what adjustment has he made here?
Yeah, well, number one, to that night, the atmosphere in the ballpark was unbelievable. I mean, the fans were into it. It was unbelievable. When Santana hit that double, I mean, it was electric in our ballpark, and it was really cool. I think the thing with Key is this started in San Francisco. He had an off day in San Francisco, had a really good work day out there with Andy Haynes. They started to unlock some things, you know, with how he's moving a little bit, getting the ball out front and his timing. And even out west, at the end, we saw him have some really good swings and didn't get a lot to show for it. But the ball was in the air. It was hard. It was on a line. And I think he's just transitioned into coming home and continues to take off. I mean, even his first out last night was a bullet to right, you know, just continuing to take good swings.
Meanwhile, in center field, just totally entertaining watching Bay play that position. Like, some of these catches look the same. What percentage of guys make that play from last night or a similar one he made in a game recently, actually a couple, where he's on a dead sprint and basically goes crashing into the wall as he's making a catch.
Yeah, I think the one thing about him is he's not scared. I mean, we're seeing that. You know, there's young infielders that go to the outfield and have trouble with a lot of things, and then there's young infielders that go to the outfield and don't want any part of the wall. The one thing we've seen about Jiwon Bae is he is not scared. I mean, he goes full tilt. He's gone into the wall. He's played really well out there. I mean, he's playing really well at second base, too, as we kind of mix and match him around. But he has done a really good job out there, and we are seeing him, like, right before our eyes get much better as a major league outfielder, and that's hard to do for an infielder.
As you look at your team overall, Shelty, and I know it's a day at a time, but are you starting to get a good feeling that this team has some stick to it here, that they're going to hang around for a while? Do you feel like you have the ingredients to do that?
Yeah, I definitely think we have the ingredients. And what tells me that is, you know, we had a really good April and we had a really bad May, and they bounced back from it. And I think that's important. You know, when you go through a tough month and you play the people we played, and our schedule was tough in May, and we didn't play terrible baseball, but we didn't play good baseball. And when you don't play good baseball against good teams, you can end up losing games. But the fact that we bounced back, you know, especially in that San Francisco series, because they were at the time, I mean, they had won 9 of 11 and they beat us pretty soundly the first night out there. To bounce back and keep going shows me how resilient this group is.
Wanted to ask you about Contreras as well. His last start, I was watching it early saying, my God, this guy might have no-hit stuff tonight. And then it seemed to just kind of go south in a hurry. What do we make of him right now? What do you make of him right now?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was he had one inning go south on him. You know, he had that second inning. It was two outs, nobody on, and then gave up a base hit, homer, and then just kind of lost himself a little bit. The thing that I liked the most is he was able to bounce back and finish that outing with three strong innings after that, scoreless. That was really important for us, and that was really important for him. So I really feel he's trending in the right direction. His velo has ticked back up, you know, with the exception of that one inning, we saw the sharpness to the slider again. And it's just, you know, staying committed to those two things.
Derek Shelton on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. It's the Derek Shelton Show. You've got your hands full with the Major League team. I'm aware of that, Shelty, but you're also a catcher by trade. And everybody's talking about, wondering about Henry Davis and Endy Rodriguez and how this is all going to play out. So I guess my question for you is there room these days for two catchers at the Major League level where they can, you know, platoon almost like goaltenders in the NHL, where both guys can actually be catchers?
Yeah, I think we feel like, you know, ultimately there is room for multiple guys that are frontline catchers. And I think the caveat to that a little bit is both guys can play other positions. And that's really important. And you know, we felt organizationally it was time to get Henry to AAA. We started out with them at different levels so they could catch every day. And Henry has done a really good job so far in their early going. So we're going to get them there together, you know. On the flip side of that, there's still a lot of growth and a lot of development for both those guys to do before they get to the big leagues. And, you know, like we pointed out at the beginning of the show, I mean, some of the stuff that Hedges is doing right now and DeLay are doing, receiving-wise, calling a game-wise, are right at the top of baseball, you know, in the top five at an elite level. And I think a lot of our pitching success can be attributed to those two guys, too.
Now, do you get daily updates? Like, do you have somebody come in and give you an update on what's happening in the minors every single day? And are you in touch with the managers at those levels? How does it work with your relationship with the minors?
Yeah, well, every day I get a box score update. You know, I get a lot of information from AAA because, you know, Indianapolis is an extension of the Major League club in terms of how we're functioning our roster. And there's continual updates. And then we have a couple guys that work in our Major League clubhouse that are constantly in contact with the minor league group, and I get messages through them. And then I'll talk to Miguel Perez, the AAA manager, whenever we have a move or, you know, something else is going on.
And how about the draft? you know, it's not every year that a team picks first in the draft. I happened to catch LSU the other day. It's the first time I saw Paul Skeens pitch. Everybody talking about him and Dylan Cruz, the two guys from there. How much of a say will you have in that? Do they come to you for your opinion on such matters?
No, I have zero say in that. That is done by our scouts and our baseball ops group and Ben. And they spend a ton of time. I mean, amateur scouting is one of the hardest things you're doing because you're trying to project kids that are 18 to 22 years old, how they're going to be, you know, in the next 3 or 4 years and comparing them against college talent. You know, we do have the number one pick this year, and, you know, we were fortunate enough to win that in the lottery this past offseason because that's how they do it now. But I am confident we will make a good pick. There is a good group of not only those two guys, but 3 or 4 other guys that are really good players out there right now. And I'm very confident that our group will make the right decision and we'll get the right person. But the only thing I will do will be call the person after we draft him and welcome him to the organization.
Keller on the mound tonight. Last two outings, 10 earned runs total. Is this just sort of the normal, I don't know, ups and downs of even the best pitchers, or is there any cause for concern over those two starts?
No, I think we got spoiled because his stuff was so good for 5 or 6 starts in a row. And then 2 starts ago, he didn't have great stuff. I mean, he didn't have his stuff. His last start, he had pretty good stuff and gave up some runs on some really soft contact. You know, I mean, 2 balls that fell in the outfield, there were jam shots. A swinging bunt, a ball that tipped off a guy's glove, and he ended up giving up some runs. But his stuff looked better. So I don't think that. I mean, you know, there's the old adage, you get 32 starts and you're going to have your best stuff for 5 or 6, and then you're going to not have good stuff for 5, and then there's the in-between. And I think we saw a stretch where he had his best stuff, and then for a start it wasn't great, and then last start it was actually back to being pretty good. So expect it we'll rebound back to normal tonight.
Is this what it feels like when you've been in other places, when you have an ace on the mound? Is it fair to call him that, or is he sort of still approaching that status for you?
I think he's approaching it, you know, still, because that takes a lot of time to get there. I mean, it takes a lot of time to be a number one, but he is definitely, you know, trending that way. And I will tell you what, when he's on the mound, we feel extremely confident about how the outing's going to go, because I think he's proven, you know, not only over this season, but even going back into last August, that he can be that reliable person.
Shelty, this was downright incrinculent. I appreciate you taking the time. Feel free to drop the word anytime you want. I think it might be a good luck charm for your club as we move forward, and we'll talk next week.
All right, and I'll make sure I get the ENT on the end of it. I promise you that.
I appreciate that.
See ya.
Derek Shelton, Pirates manager. That was interesting at the end. That whole thing was interesting. Talking about that today. And man, one thing I agree 100% on with him is Ji-Won Bae. I mentioned this earlier. No fear. I used to watch guys a long, long time ago, like Fred Lynn for the Red Sox, who almost wanted to run into the wall. You know, he liked that. He played off contact. This guy's nuts. I mean, he goes full speed into it. You see over the years, you know, it's not a good recipe for longevity. And as I mentioned earlier, even analytics will tell you that, well, that's just not a smart play. Just not a smart play. Is it worth it for one little out, you know, to go headfirst into a wall? Well, it is for him, and good for him for it, because he is really fun to watch. And he's a rising defensive star out there. I mean, you have to play him in center, right? You have to bring him in late in games. Maybe move Sawinski, I don't know, to right field eventually? Do you? Is Bae an everyday center fielder? I should have asked Shelty that. I just had the guy on the line.
We'll call him back. No, I think what your point is a good one, because certain superstar players, you don't want them injuring themselves and shortening their career. But guys who need to make plays like that to stay in the lineup like Bae, I think it is kind of worthwhile for him. And that's his role in this team right now. So he needs to play to his role. And I think the way he's playing in center field, you keep giving him those opportunities out there.
Me too. I agree with that 100%. It seems to be going that way, at least a fair amount lately. All right, Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. We have Sean Gentile coming up top of the hour. Were you able to, and I know you've been very busy, so I'm just asking, without expectation, to scrounge up the Narduzzi-Crowley uncut version?
So I have good news and bad news.
I'll take the bad news first. I always do.
I did not get the full part of their conversation, but I do have a pretty decent back and forth between Dorn and Crowley talking about that when Dorn, I guess, supposedly said that he did not know that. So if you want that, we could play that. I was not able to find the full clip.
Yeah,
at, this.
At some point, I'd like to hear that. We also have some halls of fame to talk about, including Pitt has its new Hall of Fame class out. We're going to be talking to some of those people coming up this week, I would hope. And I'd love to chat for a little while about this latest class and also the College Football Hall of Fame. Some of my all-time favorites on that list. Let's talk about that just a little bit coming up. Fan Hotline, again, presented by Nemacolin. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. I'm going to remind you about Shooters Golf. I was just there last week. Dropped my kid off at a softball practice, headed on over to Shooters. 5 minutes later, I was swinging a driver and hitting him. Well, I was hitting him about 200 yards, I suppose. I was a little bit frustrated, but I worked my way through. That's why places like this exist. But more importantly, for the summer months, I should say just as importantly, it's party time. And when I walked up to the front door, I looked to my right, gigantic patio, everybody out there having fun, having drinks, kids playing games, great food. They've got the gazebo going. They've got the fire pits going. What a place to have a party. What a place to hang out in the summertime at Shooters Golf in Wexford. Check it all out at shootersgolf.com.
Sean Myers bringing you Fan Headlines. The Pirates extended their...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.